Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
Like we've been talking in the last few weeks, actually since the new year, on being led by the Spirit. And so since we live by the Spirit, we're called to walk in step with the Spirit, and that's been kind of the theme. And it's more than just a theme or a series. It's really how we want to live our lives. The reality is that when it comes to doing the will of God, we cannot do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. Actually, Jesus said He would give us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And because of the influence and the leading and the work of the Holy Spirit, we can experience God and we can be led by God to do His will. And the mandate that we all have without exception is to live by the Spirit and to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Again, when we look at the context of the Galatians, they walked in the flesh where they tried to create a system for them to be justified, and they were walking in their own strength, and Paul says, this is not the way to go. And he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he talks about the work of the Spirit, and he says that if you don't live in the Spirit, if you don't walk according in step with the Holy Spirit, you won't be able to love one another, you won't be able to do what you're called to do. So it's a big deal. I really believe this topic of walking in step with the Holy Spirit is foundational for our lives. It really is. And it's not just one phrase or one message, it's a lifestyle. And our prayer was, as we went through this series, that you would see the importance of walking in step with the Holy Spirit, and you would understand that the goal of God and the heart of God was to walk with you. The beauty of God walking in the garden with Adam and Eve, right? And the Holy Spirit is given to walk with us so that we would know the will of God and that we would be able to function when it comes to stepping in His will. And so that's been the heart of this series. And my prayer is that we would be a church that walks in step with the Spirit. Amen? And that I would be a believer that walks in step with the Holy Spirit. And we kind of unpack that in many ways. And we talked about the need for us to know Him. We talked about the need to desire Him to influence us and to recognize our need of His presence and to see our need for Him on a daily living. And so when it comes to our lives, I believe it starts by desiring Him, right? I need the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul tried to convey to the Galatians. You need the Holy Spirit. And I think it's important for us to have that need and have expectation and also have faith that this is the plan of God, that He wants to walk with me. So we want to have a yes in our hearts when it comes to that. Secondly, one of the things that we focus a lot in this series is to position ourselves. Can you say that to your neighbor? You need to position yourselves. If I want to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, I need to connect with Him. I need to experience Him in my life through worship, through prayer, through taking time with Him, and also to go to His Word. We need to be rooted in His Word. We need to have this conversation with God, with His Word, because when we look at the Word, we know it's more than just information, as much as our theology and our belief is based on this and our worldview comes from Scripture. We also believe that the Spirit talks to us through the Word. He illuminates His Word to our mind and to our hearts, and the Holy Spirit prompts us to do His will. And so we want to go to His Word, because if we don't go to His Word, we don't know what it is will, right? And so we know that the foundation of our life is based on His Word. So we understand that the work of the Holy Spirit is to lead us to His Word. Would you agree? Because when we say yes to His Word, this is where transformation happens. And so when it comes to walking in step with the Holy Spirit, there's a need for us to have our lives rooted in God's Word. And really, the Word is our light. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go if we don't have the Word, right? Otherwise, we're going to be led by culture and by opinions and by the next YouTube popular preacher, right? And so we want to be rooted in God's word. And so we also understand that we need to involve him every day of our lives. And that's what we talked about when it comes to walking in the Spirit, is that we need to involve him. And Brian did an awesome job last week on his message, and he talked about having Jesus as a functional Lord. This is one of our value, where we're not leaving God here this morning, right? It's not a religious practice that we come here, we fulfill a religious duty, and then we live according to whatever we want when we leave here. What we want is to see Jesus as a functional Lord, not a figurehead, right? We want him as the Lord of our lives. And I believe when it comes to walking in step with the Spirit, what we're referring to is that we want Jesus to call the shots. Can you say that to your neighbor? I want Jesus to call the shots, right? Call the shots in my life, Lord. What do you have to say? What is your will? What's your thought in this? And having this dialogue with God as you do life. I think it's huge. And I believe it involves us to be engaged in godly community where we can be accountable. And so we kind of unpack that. What I want to share this morning is I believe that the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives is directly affected by the condition of my heart or of our hearts. I believe that if I have unresolved issues in my heart, that is going to be hard for me to walk in step with the Spirit, right? And to walk in step with the Spirit involves heart transformation. It involves God addressing stuff in my heart. Otherwise, I won't be able to walk in step with the Spirit. So my thought is, what are stuff or things in my life that could blind me or stop me of seeing or what he wants to do? It's like, for those that are wearing glasses, it's not fun when you are outside and you come in. Sometimes it would be fun to have wipers on our glasses, right? And it's like it's not clear, there's some fog. And it's like you have an idea, but you don't really see. And so my thought is, I believe that God wants us to walk according to his Spirit, walk in step with the Holy Spirit. But what is causing me not to see or not to engage or prevent me of walking in this? So I'd like to talk about five things today that I believe can block us of walking in step with the Spirit. And I believe that the King David addressed this clearly in Psalm 139. And I think what Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, I think it's essential in our lives. And when David wrote this, he was not a young pup. He was in the latter part of his life. After seeing all what he saw, after going through lots of stuff, personal sin, betrayal, rejection, and so on, and seeing God bless, but at the same time, all the challenges that he faced. And he writes Psalm 139, verse 23. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." And when you read the psalm, you can see that he has still struggles and his enemies are still wanting his head. But he knows that if he doesn't address the things of his heart, he's going to go astray. He doesn't want to react. He doesn't want to do life on his own. He understands. He looks back at his life and he sees his mistakes. He sees his independence. And he sees that it didn't go well when he pursued life on his own without having God's input. I believe that David's prayer is a courageous prayer. Why did David pray this prayer? He understood the importance of having a free heart. A free heart is a big deal. Really is. It's a big deal. Because when we don't have a free heart, it's hard for us to hear well. It's hard for us to read well. It's hard for us to walk in step with the Spirit, right? Like I said, when he wrote that, it was in the later part of his life. And what he wants is to be led in the path of everlasting life. As we want to walk in step with the Holy Spirit and to do the will of God, that's what his desire. His desire was to live a life that honors God on the path of everlasting life. And when we look at Solomon, his son, he wrote in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, a common verse, a verse that we know, not common as not important, but a verse that we all know. Above all else, guard your heart, it's the wellspring of life. My heart is a big deal. The condition of my heart will be linked to walking in step in this, with the Spirit. It really is. And in Psalm 139, David expresses his desire for a true heart. He doesn't want to be under delusion and self-deception, where like he has no idea what's happening in his heart. He's just reacting to life. He doesn't want to be like that. He doesn't want to be ignorant of his personal state. And in Proverbs 27, verse 19, we have this example. As a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. And so we know that those days, mirrors were not like today, right? They didn't have a iPhone to look to see how they looked. They looked in water, and it was a reflection of, well, we know what it does when you look in water, but it's really, it was a thought that whatever is in you, it's really who you are, and you will live according to what is in your heart. And Jesus said the same thing, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And so I believe what David prayed was a sign of maturity. It wasn't about condemnation. It was about honesty. The question was, how's my heart? God, I'm not even seeing my heart. Can you reveal to me what's in my heart? Because I don't want to miss what you have in store. So that's the heart. God, I want to know what's inside, because I realize what's inside will influence my tomorrow. And so I want to be aware. I don't want to be ignorant to what I carry and what is happening inside of me. And we're not too good at that, right? Accountability is not fun. I remember in our early years of marriage, I dared ask my wife if there was anything in my life that she disliked. And I remember her sharing her heart. I did not like what I heard. Like, no. And then, but you, now it's going to be my turn, right? She never asked it. I asked it, and she told me what she thought. But we don't like that. We don't like to be accountable. We don't like to ask people around us, do you see something in my life that is not good? Like, we're afraid of the answer. But actually, to be able to do that is a sign of maturity. Because we want to experience change. Because if we don't experience change, what happens is that I won't be able to walk in step with the Spirit. That's why it's so huge to be accountable. And this is where we see David say, God, show me what's wrong. Show me if I'm off track. Show me if there's things in my heart that are contrary to your ways. What a prayer, right? What a necessity, right? What a huge calling. And like I said, it's a courageous prayer, but I believe it's important. I believe that maturity is the willingness to see God shed light into our darkness. It's not easy. God, shed the light in my darkness. Like, reveal my heart, reveal my blind spots. Like, I believe it's hard to step in the things of the Spirit when my heart stays wounded, offended, crowded, closed, and when I tolerate sin against instead of surrendering it. I believe one of the first things that is preventing us of stepping in what God has in store, walking in step with the Holy Spirit, is wounds, hurts. I believe that wounds or hurts causes me to be paralyzed and I can't move forward. I become stuck in the pain. The Spirit says, come, but my wound says, not. Or my wound says, I cannot. Have you ever been in a situation that you understand the will of God, but you just say, I just can't? Because you're hurting? I think it all happens to us. I believe it all happens to us one day or the other. I remember many years ago, I was going through a rough patch and I felt undone as a pastor. I was wounded. And Micheline and I, we went to a place where we had a few pastors together, and we had a simple communion. there was a black background music, and we were in the living room. And then the invitation was, ask God to speak to you, to reveal himself to you, but just surrender what you need to surrender before having communion. So here I go. I open my heart and I start to verbalize. And I have this impression in my heart where Jesus is saying to me, come on, Claude, move forward. And the image I had in my heart is Jesus is holding my hand with a smile. And he says, let's run. And I don't want to. I've got my heels on the sand. No, I don't want to. I'm wounded. And he persisted, come on. And I remember in my thoughts, in my imagination, in my heart, whatever, I don't understand how it all works, but inside of me, I remember raising my heels up and saying, okay, God. And it was a turning point for me. But sometimes it's hard to remove our heels from the sand because of things that happens. And life is hard. And sometimes we suffer injustices and wrongs and lost, and it's and also we attempt stuff and there's no results and it's hard. And sometimes when I stay there and I camp there too long, I understand there's a time to mourn and understand there's a time to weep, but you can't stay there. You have to move forward. Because otherwise, it paralyzes you. I like what it says in Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. If you are brokenhearted and you are in the place of, the Lord is near you. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to restore you. But the last thing you want to do is to stay there and camp there for years or whatever the time that you camp there where you are not able to step in the Lord's calling because of hurts. And we all get hurt. So what am I going to do with the hurt, right? Will I let it paralyze me and stop me of doing what I'm called to do and just stay there? My prayer is that you would say, God, help me to get my heels out of the sand. Help me to step forward. Help me to trust you, rely on you, right? Because I believe that God is not done with you. God wants to work in your lives. And I believe there's a danger of letting hurts take control of our lives. Do you know people that the hurts is controlling their lives? Do you see yourself sometime in a season where for the last so many years you have not moved an inch because of hurts and disappointments and frustration, expectations that you had that were not met, and then it paralyzes you? I like what it said in Psalm chapter 6, verse 2. David says, have compassion on me, Lord, for I'm weak. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. I'm sick at heart, sick at heart. It's a rough, rough patch. How long, O Lord, until you restore me? Return, O Lord, and rescue me. Save me because of your unfailing love. I pray that we would have this prayer and that we would not stay hurt or offended or broken down. Isaiah 61 says that Jesus came for the brokenhearted. And so there's hope for you today. Maybe today is a turning point in your life for you to experience his healing so that you can move forward. So I believe that when we stay wounded, we can't step in what God has in store. If we stay wounded, we miss out on what God has in store. The second thing I believe that we have to look into is offenses. When I stay offended, it hardens me. Doesn't matter how great of a Christian you are. It doesn't matter how experienced you are. And if you stay offended, it will harden your heart. Pastor, whoever it is, you will harden your heart. If I keep rehearsing what was done to me, it will prevent me of showing love and doing what Jesus wants me to do. It will paralyze me. And when the Spirit wants to lead me, I will not be able to because I will be prisoner of my grudge, prisoner of my lack of forgiveness, of my resentment. Resentment is a cancer. It really does, it takes control of your life. What happened is that it becomes your focus. It derails you, totally derails you. So you can't walk in step with the Spirit because you're caught by resentment. And resentment just brings you to a direction or in a path that is not good. It brings you in captivity. So when I let resentment take root, it will influence me and keep me from being in step with the Holy Spirit. Like, resentment will make me a different person. Resentment will cause me to be a different person. You look at resentment in a marriage, it changes you. You don't love, you can't love properly, you can't serve properly, you can't respond to what you should because there's kind of a wall around your heart. Like, you know what you should do, but you just can't. And resentment will create this net that will prevent you of doing what you want to do and what you're called to do. You look back in the past and you said, I was able to do this, but I can't anymore. Why? Because you let resentment be your straitjacket. Becomes your straitjacket. It's like, you know, but you just can't. I don't know if you've been there, but I've been there. Like, I know what I should do, but I can't because of resentment. Until I don't address it, deal with it, I'm a prisoner of it. So that will prevent me of stepping in what God has in store. Forgiveness brings freedom, and letting go gives me a new start. It really does. And so I invite you, God, Father, the Son, He said, we'll give you a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And He will walk with you, He will teach you. And then Paul says that we are called to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. But if I have resentment, it stops me of doing that, prevents me of doing that. So I need to deal with my heart, right? Number three, what causes me to miss out on stepping, to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, is when I let my heart be crowded. The example of the young rich ruler. He wanted Jesus, but he also wanted control. He had a divided heart. He had a love for money, and the love that he had for money was greater. A crowded heart wants Jesus, but on its own term. Like, think about this young rich ruler. He was a good guy. Jesus loved him. Jesus asked him about following the commandments, and he was a good dude. Like, he was a good Christian. Like, hey. And then Jesus says, go and sell all that you have. And then he was shocked. And what happened is that the Spirit, like, let's say if we use our term for, if we lose our context as believers, is that you walk in step with the Holy Spirit. But the step that the Holy Spirit had was this man to be a follower of Jesus. But he said no to the calling and the following of the Holy Spirit because he was caught. He had a divided heart. And so we can't have both, you see? And Jesus said, you cannot have mammon and God. You have to choose. Not to say that everybody has to sell everything they have, but what am I living for? You know, one of the big challenges is for those that have this entrepreneurship spirit and those that have success in their lives, they struggle with that. They want God, but at the same time, don't want to give control. There's a need for us. Listen, if I want to walk in step with the Spirit, I got to give Him control. I've got to have Him lead me. Like, I need His leadership and His ownership in my life. It's necessary for me to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. It's necessary. So if I want to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, I've got to have Him lead. And I have to have Him the owner. And I challenge you, when you leave this place, when you go home this week, that you have this dialogue with God. God, are you the owner? Or am I the owner? I love you, but at the same time, I'm still owning. I'm not under your lordship. So I look at this young man, could not step in what God had in store because of his independence. Number four, when I tolerate sin in my life, it dulls my sensitivity to the Spirit. It gives birth to compromise and it grieves the Spirit. So when I tolerate sin, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And so how can I walk in step with the Holy Spirit when I live in sin? I can't. You see, there's a contradiction here. Tolerance to sin gives access to the enemy to bring accusation and so discouragement. When you're walking in sin or you tolerate sin in your life, it's hard to move forward because the devil will be in your face and will tell you how of a loser you are. He will accuse your person. The Holy Spirit comes and wants to change your behavior. He wants to change your action. But the devil wants to tell you that you're a nobody and that there's no grace for you, and that you cross the line and you're a hopeless case. And then what happens is you close your heart to the Lord and you can't move forward because you're caught into sin. And the devil wants to make sure that you know that, and he causes you to walk in guilt and condemnation. And so what needs to happen is there's a need for confession and there's a need for surrender. Confession is the base, is based on taking ownership and our responsibility. There's consequences to our sins, absolutely. Like, sin has a domino effect, we understand that. But we can experience forgiveness, we can experience that freedom that comes from God. And when we do this, I believe that holiness brings freedom and causes us and helps us to walk in step with the Spirit. So if you're here today and you're tolerating sin in your life, it's gonna be very hard for you to walk in step with the Spirit. You see, walking in step with the Spirit causes you to surrender, to experience His grace and His forgiveness. My last point here is when I close myself up, when I refuse to be vulnerable, it causes me to walk alone and to miss out on Him. I can't walk in step with the Holy Spirit if I'm not vulnerable. Actually, if I can't pray Psalm 139, if I can't pray verse 23 to 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. If I can't pray this, I've got a problem. It's called pride. And if I can't be vulnerable, I'm not able to step in what the Spirit has for me. Because you can't. It's only by the work of God through vulnerability and humility. You say, God, come to my help. And so when I have that heart, God comes and rescues us. So if you're wounded this morning, if you are offended, if you have a crowded heart, If you have a problem to be vulnerable, and if you have tolerance of sin instead of a surrendered heart, I invite you to say, God, heal my heart, come to my rescue. I would ask you to stand. If you're wounded this morning, God is Yahweh Rapha, the one that heals and restores our hearts. Father, I pray for all those that are carrying wounds, hurts. I just pray that you would bring healing by your Spirit, that you would bring freedom in their hearts to be able to move forward. I pray that you would take them by the hand, that you would reaffirm and show your love and your affection for them. Father, you came, your Son came to heal the brokenhearted. Father, you see the brokenhearted in this place today. I pray that you would come and bring healing and restoration, Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a prisoner of offenses. You're offended. It has taken control of your life. Listen to the voice of the Spirit of surrendering and letting go. Say, God, I give you this. I'm tired of seeing this control my life. Free me, Lord. Help me to love. Help me to shine. Help me, God, to bridge what needs to be bridged. Maybe you're here this morning and you love God, but Man, you don't want to let go. You're like that rich young ruler. You love what Jesus is saying. You say yes, but when it's all said and done, you just do your own life. You got a divided heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you are walking in sin and you're tolerating sin in your life. I invite you to repent and turn your heart to God and experience His healing. Wherever you are this morning, I just want you to know that the Spirit wants to lead you. God wants to walk with you, but there's a need to surrender. God will work and function with your heart that is healed, restored, and freed up. So, Father, I pray a blessing on your people this morning, and that we would see and how much you love us and how much you want to lead us. And all the people of God said, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.